From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. According to Cook County Auditor-Treasurer Brady Powers, the local governor's race recount went smoothly on Monday with no challenges from either political party. Powers said election judges here did a perfect job election night. A second look at ballots during the recount added one vote for Republican Tom Emmer and one vote for Democrat Mark Dayton. During the first recount day, election officials statewide waded through 947,000 ballots. Unlike in Cook County, Emmer challenged 281 ballots, three times more than the Dayton camp. Challenges not withdrawn will go before the state canvassing board for a final decision next week. Barring legal challenges, the recount is supposed to be over on December 14th.
The National Park Service is currently developing a cultural resources management plan for Isle Royale National Park. As part of that effort, the Park Service is holding four public meetings or listening sessions beginning this week. Seth DePasquale is Cultural Resource Manager at Isle Royale National Park.
What we're doing, at least for these initial listening sessions, is just a way to sort of gather thoughts and impressions that the general public has about cultural resources on Isle Royale National Park and, you know, how they think the park maybe should manage these different resources on the island.
The term cultural resources refers to Isle Royale's human history, which dates back more than 4,000 years.
It's a thick, rich history and prehistory out here. It's hard to get away from the fact that people have been out here for so long, and it's very tangible. It's not like the prehistoric presence is gone. You can see very vivid reflections of their presence on the island just through some of the mining features that they left behind.
More recent human history on Isle Royale dates back to the 1800s, when a wave of Scandinavian immigrants arrived in northeastern Minnesota, establishing small-scale family fishing operations all along the North Shore and on Isle Royale. By 1925, there were an estimated 75 small fishing operations on Isle Royale, referred to in a report prepared for the National Park Service as a Scandinavian folk fishery. The island was also a popular tourist destination at the turn of the century, complete with summer residences, a resort, and a bowling alley. When efforts began in the 1930s to designate Isle Royale as a national park, the fishermen, summer cabin, and resort owners were bought out by the Park Service. Some were granted life leases, allowing them to continue using their cabins and fishing camps, but only for the remainder of the original property owner's lifetime. As the original property owners passed away, some families obtained temporary special use permits or volunteer in the park agreements, which allowed them to continue using the properties. But in many ways, this was the beginning of the end of the Scandinavian folk fishery on Isle Royale. There was no real security from year to year and little incentive to maintain the properties at their own expense. Things only got worse in the 1950s when sea lamprey invaded the Great Lakes and decimated the lake trout population. One of the main fisheries sustaining the fishermen was gone. More properties were either given up or seized by the Park Service, in some cases because occupants failed to make annual visits as required. Many buildings were burned or dismantled by the Park Service in what is now widely viewed as a misguided attempt to return the island to a state of pristine wilderness. Still, many families hung on and maintained a presence on the island that continues to this day. But they're in a constant state of limbo, unsure from year to year whether they'll be allowed to stay. This is one of the main reasons the Park Service is developing the Cultural Resources Management Plan.
That's going to be a big part of it. You know, in the past, there were quite a few agreements made between property holders when the park was established, and we're coming to terms of expiration. We need more definitive guidance on how we're going to proceed in regards to just their general management.
The Park Service says it will take about 2 years to complete the Cultural Resources Management Plan. The process gets underway this week with four listening sessions intended to gather public input. Two meetings will take place in Minnesota and two in Michigan.
The so-called Truth in Taxation, or TNT, statements hit county mailboxes late last week, prompting a flurry of phone calls and emails to County Assessor Mary Black.
They're wanting to know why their property taxes, proposed property taxes, which statements just went out, why they're seeing an increase in their property taxes for 2011. This is just a preliminary, and this is that is actually sent out by the auditor's office to give taxpayers an idea of what their property taxes are going to be for 2011 so they can prepare themselves and start budgeting.
As Black said, the notice is preliminary. In fact, a close look at the statement shows no proposed tax for School District ISD 166. That amount will be set at a public meeting in December. Black said the tax increase does not reflect an increase in property taxes, in fact, quite the opposite.
We had a decrease actually in property values throughout the county. It was in the neighborhood of about 1%, which I know isn't much, but we did decrease the values that much. And our values are set as of January 2nd of any given year for taxes payable the following year. So the value that is on this TNT notice was set as of January 2nd, 2010, for what you will be paying your taxes on that value in 2011.
The assessor's office follows state laws restricting the valuation of properties and how their market value will be established. In the end, market value depends on sale price.
We were seeing that that properties were selling for less than what we have them valued for. And we have to maintain what is known as a sales ratio of 90 to 105% of the value, meaning that we need to have a value on a property that sells for $100,000 between $90,000 to $105,000. And when we get above that, 100%, in 105% especially, we have to decrease our values to get them down to 100%. We're supposed to value the properties at market value. So in an ideal world, we would have a value on a $100,000 property and it would sell for $100,000. But the Department of Revenue gives us that little bit of leeway. And, for years and years and years, we were seeing that properties were selling for much more than what we had them valued for, so we'd have to increase the values. But this last year, we did see that we were just slightly high, so we were able to bring them back slightly.
The proposed tax statement shows the anticipated county property tax, plus voter-approved levies and other local levies. Under the special taxing district line, the increase includes the tax levied by the hospital board, which is for 1 year and not subject to voter approval. The actual market value figures are reflected in a comparison box at the top right of the statement. Unless a property has been improved, the market value reflects a slight decrease.
And I told folks when they had called, your values can go down and your taxes can go up. And, well, this year, that actually happened.
The county will hold a public meeting on proposed taxes December 14th at 6 p.m. in the commissioner's room. ISD 166 will hold a public meeting the following evening, December 15th, also at 6 p.m. in the school's conference room. At that meeting, the levy passed by referendum November 2nd will be discussed and budgeted.
The term biomass has been in the news a lot recently. A push to develop renewable domestic energy sources, backed by government subsidies and tax incentives, has fueled a nationwide boom in the biomass industry over the last decade. There's also considerable interest in biomass energy on a local level. George Wilkes is co-chair of the Cook County Local Energy Project, or CCLEP.
We're in the process of really taking a real comprehensive look at biomass energy throughout the county, trying to figure out what the resource is, and what the best technologies are for making energy out of it.
CCLEP has been actively seeking funding to research the potential for community-based biomass energy production, and in October, the Cook County Board of Commissioners approved a $113,500 contribution from the county's Timber Fund to pay for a feasibility study. One of the issues the study will look at in depth is how much woody biomass is available locally and whether removing it from the forest will negatively affect nutrient levels in the soil and forest health. Patty Johnson is a fuels expert with the U.S. Forest Service. She's been looking into that question and says she doesn't see a problem.
We have some different models that will estimate the amount of biomass based on some different data we have from the forest. And at this point, just by looking at that model, it looks like there's plenty of biomass that's out there to support the biomass plant.
There are many different forms of what is considered biomass. Locally, it could include waste wood, right-of-way clearing and tree removals, materials generated by the FireWise program and wildfire mitigation, and slash from commercial timber harvesting. Just as there are many forms of biomass, there are also many different technologies that make use of it. George Wilkes of CCLEP.
There are some really clean ways to burn biomass, and it would be very different from the attempts that were done a couple of decades ago with burning wood chips, which were rather inefficient and produced some smoke problems.
There will be a public informational meeting about the biomass study at 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 9th at the County Courthouse in Grand Marais. For more information, contact local project coordinator Gary Atwood at 387-2852 or log on to the project website at dovetailinc.org/cookcounty.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.